Transliterated into the Roman alphabet, so that even those cannot read Devanagari can still see this verse, and we can still chant it. So they're in our familiar alphabet. There's a few little diacritic marks, the S's with the accent marks over, and the dot beneath mean SH. There's two kinds of SHs in Sanskrit, three kinds. Two kinds of SHs in Sanskrit. And we can know the subtle difference. So I'll say each word, and you say after me, and then we'll do each verse like this responsively. Okay? So Bhagavatam 1-8, up to me.
Dharma,
Dharma,
Swanushtita,
Swanushtita,
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
Nishpatsena,
Nishpatsena,
Tatasu,
Tatasu,
Yaha,
Yaha,
Nopadaye,
Nopadaye,
Yadim,
Yadim,
Vatim,
Vatim,
Brahma,
Brahma,
Eva,
Eva,
Hi,
Hi,
Kevalam,
Kevalam,
Dharma Swanustita Pumsam, Dharma Swanustitam Pumsam
Dharma Swanustitam
Vishvaksena Tatasuya
Vishvaksena Tatasuya
Notpadayetra Dityadiratim
Notpadayetadiratim
Srama Eva Hikevalam Swadushita Pumsam Vishvaksena Katasuya
Vishvaksena Katasuya
Norpari Yadi Rotim
Norpari Yadi Rotim
Brahma Eva Hikevalam
Brahma
Eva Hikevalam Pumsam Vishvaksena Katasuya
Vishvaksena Katasuya
Norpadaye Yadi Rotim
Norpadaye Yadi Rotim
Rama Eva Hikevalam
Rama Eva Hikevalam
Dharma Swanustita Pumsam
Dharma Swanustita Pumsam
Vishvaksena Katasuya
Vishvaksena
Sita Pumsam
Dharma
विश्वासेन कृता सूया
विश्वासेन
उत्पादयेत् दारतिम् राम एव हि केवलम्
executed in terms of one's own position. Pumsam of humankind. Vishvaksena. The personality of Godhead. Plenary portion. Katasu. In the message of. Yaha,
what is?
Na.
Utpadayet.
Does produce.
Yadi.
If. Ratim. Attraction. Saramaha.
Useless labor.
Eva.
Only.
Certainly.
Kevalam.
Entirely. Translation. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world, with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres. And their occupational duties involve making poetry, philosophy, or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness, limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is the potent, that is the self. The self is the potent active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of this limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and the mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting of the divine activities of the Supreme Lord, and any occupational activity which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting of the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberty. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or in the other. Even if he goes up to the Svargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Vidvesh Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasate Devo Gaudavani Pachadani Vishesha Sindhavani Pachadani Vishesha Om Gyan Muranda Shukadam Jana Shulakaya Chatsuri Miritam Jain Tasmai Sri Guru Vinama Vancha Kaupati Krishna Kripa Sindhu Veva Chatanam Bhavani Yo Vaishnavi Yo Namo Dhamma. This chapter begins with dealing with the question, what is the best dharma? The word dharma, this word verse all begins, dharma is what is begotten, but begin the same. The word dharma can be translated as religion, as law, as duty, here occupational duty, occupation. So there's so many different ways that the word, it means all those things, because this comes from a time where there was no difference between your religion and your life. Whatever you did was your religion, and you could only do it in a more and more perfect way. The actual meaning of dharma It comes from a Sanskrit verbal root, dri, which means to sustain or uphold. And really the literal meaning is that which makes, that by which a thing is what it is. That is its essential nature. You cannot change Dharma. It's what you really are. Your essential nature. If you say it's religion, then you have to say the religion of fire is to be hot. The religion of sugar is to be sweet. This is Dharma. So Dharma cannot be changed. Sometimes people make a big issue of conversion. In India there's some controversy because Christians are converting Hindus, and then the Hindus like Islam because they think we're converting Christians. But actually, these religions, they don't really have anything to do with Dharma. Because Dharma you can't change. It's ultimately your essential nature. So when it's asked, what is the best Dharma for everybody? The answer is not this religion or that religion. It says that process by which one attains devotion to the Supreme Lord. Yato bhakti manusya. That is the best Dharma for all humanity by which one attains devotion to the Supreme Lord. And you can see why this Prabhupada in this purport is talking about the soul. We have this gross body. We give it up at the time of death. Whatever the needs of our bodies are, that doesn't really deal with the soul. So whatever those needs, that's not the real Dharma. That changes the course of time. Then above the gross body, there's the subtle mind. Well, the mind is also changing too. And it's also material. It's not as temporary as the gross body. But still, the mind is not the self. So whatever satisfies the mind in the realm of poetry and philosophy and all those other things, that may give us some satisfaction, but it doesn't come to the real self, the spirit soul. What is the religion of the soul? Every living entity is a spirit soul. So we see in this world, just among human beings, the spirit souls are in so many different forms. There's the male body and the female body. Some people are performing feminist religions, or they say, Dharma has nothing to do with the body. It has to do with the soul. Or some things say the religion has to do with being an Arab, or being a Gujarati, or being a Scandinavian. No. We are the human beings are in so many different bodily situations. But anything on that platform is ultimately not satisfying, and it's not Dharma. And plus, all living entities, even the animals, they're spirit souls. But Prabhupada, many times in this purport that I just read, he used the word dormant. That means asleep. The soul is doing whatever the needs of the soul right now, they're being expressed in the body, and therefore not satisfied. So people conceive of their duties, their dharma, what they're supposed to be doing, their morality, in terms of the body. And because bodies are in different, people are in different social and economic and intellectual, cultural positions, there's so many different ideas what we are supposed to do. But Bhagavatam says it will not satisfy you unless it comes to bhakti. Devotion to the Supreme Lord. And intense devotion. Ahaitikya pratiyata. Devotion that is without any selfish motivation and without any interruption. So this same idea is here. Dharamasvadushtitam kumisam. He said that occupation, whatever you do, what you conceive of as your duty, was taught to you as your duty, swadhusthita, according to your position. Maybe, like my father was a professional military officer. It was very clear he had a duty, which was to protect his country. So they had a duty. He had a duty. It wasn't to make money, that's some other people. Other people, their professors in the university, their duty is to give knowledge. So people have different ideas of their duty. So you may have their different, or, so whatever it is, swanutita, according to your position, he says, if that duty does not give rise to rati, rati Prabhupada here translates as attraction. But those of you who know Sanskrit will know that rati is the term for intense attraction, for in fact sexual attraction. Kamadeva, the god of love, one of his wives is rati devi, passion. But what is this rati for? Vishpaksena tathasu. For discussions about Krishna. Krishna's name here is Vishvaksena. That's a name for Krishna. It means literally, Sena is army or power. We have a youth group here called Pandava Sena, the army of the Pandavas. So this means he whose armies or whose powers go everywhere. In the Bible, they sometimes speak of the Lord of hosts. It's a similar idea. So the Lord is very great. His powers go everywhere. They encompass everyone. So this Bhagavatam is all about discussion about Krishna. Here, you're here for 1 hour to hear discussion about Krishna. You go outside, you turn on the radio, you search for the station, there will be no Vishvaksena Katha. Nothing discussing. Everywhere you go, people are talking. They have so many topics for conversation. Nothing about Krishna. No Vishvaksena Katha. But it says, if whatever we do in our life, if it does not, Upadiyat, if it does not give rise to real attraction, just like a boy loves a girl loves a boy. It's not, don't have to force yourself. Just want to hear. If that attraction for hearing about Krishna doesn't arise, then your work is trauma eva kikirama. It is hard work for nothing. That's trauma eva kikirama. It is in fact hard work and nothing more. You work, and in the end, what happens when you do that? You've got a job, and you work, and it's time for your paycheck, and they said, oh, we just went out of business, there's no money, we're broke, sorry. You work so hard, and you got nothing to show for it. Very frustrating. Our whole lives, we will work, and we have nothing to show for it. And isn't that the truth? Most people are working to get some money. The Prabhupada says that they're on the platform of selfishness. And there's two kinds of selfishness. Narrow selfishness, let me take care of me. People have this idea, let me take care of number one. And they think that they're number one. And so they take care of number one. And so they work very hard, and they get some money, and they get some property, and maybe they get a little fame, and then death comes, and what happens to it? Where did it go? Shrama eva hi kevalam. At the time of death, what have you got to show for what you've done? It's not there. It's gone. Huh? Well, some people on a little higher platform, they're extended selfishness. Let me work for my children. And they have this this idea. I'm going to sacrifice everything and I'm going to give everything to my children. And then your children say, I'm going to sacrifice and give everything for my children. I'm not going to enjoy it. And then they say, I'm going to give everything for my children. Where's that last guy who gets everything? You don't want to see it. So they sacrifice for their children. That's a kind of extended selfishness. Because really, I want to say, look at my children. Look what I've given them. See, my son, he went to Harvard, and this has gone to Wharton, and my daughter is a gynecologist, you know, whatever, you know, there's been bragging rights and so on. It's also a kind of selfishness. And you get a little mental pleasure, but the time of death, what does it matter?
Nothing. So you
think. And then people go beyond FM, let me take care of my community. Take care of my country. So for 5 minutes you get the thanks of a grateful nation. Thank you very much for thanking your sacrifice and your life for us. Now voted out of office. Like Winston Churchill, you know, he worked so hard to save England and everything. As soon as the war was over, so if that's the name of a statue somewhere. Prabhupada talks about a great man in Bengal, Ashutosh Mukherjee. So in Calcutta there's a big statue of Ashutosh Mukherjee. He's a great jurist. Did so much for the people. And so they would, on his birthday, in the morning, the street cleaners would come, and with the city brush, they would clean his, because the statue had been outdoors, so they're, here in America we have pigeons, but in Calcutta they have crows. So the crows all year long, you know, they're passing stool on him, sitting on him, so he's all covered with crow dung. So the sweepers come in with the city brush, the municipal brush, they clean them up. In the afternoon of the ceremony, they give him a garland. And then the next year... So people are pursuing fame, or they want to be a philanthropist, they want to dedicate their lives to others. And even if you do it, you know, I work so hard, it really is, it's more noble, you know, that you should be a medical worker and you work so hard to save people and you cure some disease and it's very nice and you're Bill Gates and you're a philanthropist and you funded all this stuff. But then what do these people get out of it? They eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and they die. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Because no one ultimately becomes satisfied. We have to be clear about this. Why aren't we satisfied? Why is it that after we do these things, we work so hard, maybe all we enjoy is a little mental happiness? Oh, I did good in this world. I achieved a little mental happiness. But people are, for the most part, very disappointed. Because of what we are working for is not really dharma. It's some substitute. And so hard work after nothing. So we get old and the time of death comes. We do not really wish to be in that position. I've done so much. I've worked so hard. I've suffered. What have I got to show for it? What have I got to show for it? Maybe you have a few illusions, somebody. But people think like that. I had my name in the newspaper. People have these various sort of immortality projects to be remembered by posterity. They work so hard so that future generations will remember them, so they want to become like Napoleon Bonaparte or some great person. All you're doing is causing schoolboys of the future to suffer. So they have to remember your stupid name and dates, and as soon as they pass the exam, they can forget them. So I don't want to be, the point of this is not to be so cynical or pessimistic, but we should, this verse is saying we should actually achieve something worthwhile with our lives. So Prabhupada is very, very beautiful writing here. Is that we try to satisfy the body, and it doesn't satisfy the soul. Because the self is the soul. First thing we learn in the Vedas, we are transcendentalists, aham brahmasmi, I am a spiritual being. That means I am not material. And the body is material, and the mind is material. There's a gross, stula sharira, the gross body, and sukshma sharira, the subtle body. Well, that's called the gross body, which is temporary. The soul is eternal, but every time the end of life comes and we die, the gross body goes away and everything connected with it is lost. As long as we are conditioned, we retain this subtle body. We keep the subtle body and get a new gross body. Again, we take birth and we keep going through the same thing over and over again. The real goal is that it is ultimately that we spiritualize the subtle body so we do not take birth again in the material world. We actually come to the platform of the spirit soul. We understand that what the needs of the soul are. And Prabhupada says right here, the body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. We do not need them. I do not need this body to be alive. The body actually needs me. They're superfluous. It's unnecessary. The real life that goes on without the body and the mind. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. And then he gives this example of the bird in a cage. If I have a bird in a cage, and I spend all my time taking care of the cage, polishing the brass and everything and making the cage look nice, I forget to feed the bird, then I've misplaced my energy. So simply, we think that we take care of the outer body and don't take care of the needs of the soul. We're in a similar sort of situation. When it says here, this phrase here, lokpariyantari rakhi, we need to have rakhi for Krishna. Just to hear about Krishna, we become so happy. Because that fulfills the needs of the soul. See, each one of us, as a spirit soul, we are constituted. What these passages are saying is that real karma is bhakti. That means to say we are essential devotees of Krishna. And everywhere, what is real karma or real religion is whatever awakens that bhakti. And if maybe in this community or that community, wherever it happens, that is your religion. Wherever love for Krishna, love for the Supreme Lord is awakened. We say awakened because that it's not something that's put in from the outside. The love for Krishna is already there. But because we are in the material world and have identified with the gross body and mind, that love becomes displaced. Prabhupada calls it perverted. We place that love on other things. And we think that by satisfying my own body and mind, because people first of all love themselves. That's the first thing they worship, huh? Or that they love somebody else, but again somebody else temporary. Or they love their country. Or they claim to love humanity. we have something that we have some passion we call in love with. All these are substitutes for Krishna. They do not satisfy us. The trouble with the material world, Krishna said, Dukalayam Ashastatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, he said the material world is Ashastatam, means it is temporary. That is Dukalayam, it is full of suffering. So here's the Lord who has made this world. He's the maker. He certifies Dukalayam Ashastatam. This is the nature of this world. We are not satisfied here because we are eternal. We are full of knowledge and we are full of bliss. What we really desire is eternal life. This is an easy thing to see. It is not hard to prove. What we do in this world is we establish various relationships. Through those relationships, we experience happiness. But because of the nature of the world, is these relationships have this distressing tendency to break apart. These connections by which you maintain, but by which you become happy, they break. And so even to be happy, we are always in anxiety because I do not know. I have a nice job to which money comes and it's a fairly pleasant place to work. Will that job be permanent? Do I have job security? Sometimes they tell you, you're bad, but they're lying. But just now you read the newspaper, all these people have been working so hard, they think everything is secure, and when they retire they have a pension, they say, sorry, it's gone. We don't have it anymore. Yeah. People getting lifted. So we are always in anxiety. Even when we have something nice, we're in anxiety that we might lose it. So all these relationships that we have, financial relationships, personal relationships, boy and a girl meet, and then immediately, so many things can go wrong now, huh? One gets attracted to somebody else, and so there's all jealousy and fear. She's interested in the guy in the basketball team. So I have to worry all the time, what's happening, is it going to last? And then, of course, and they're just dangerous to the material world. People step in front of moving cars. People become diseased. Every parent who has children, you know, there's always anxiety because things happen, bad things happen. And then time goes on. Even if the relationship isn't broken, you can get sick of it. Somebody gives you a great big box of chocolate covered cherries. Well, the first 5 or 10 taste good, but if you have to finish the whole box, you can't think of it. Even it wears out. Even what you have, you get tired of it. This is the nature of the world. So sooner or later, we experience this fact that we make arrangements for happiness, and somehow or other, these arrangements come to an end. How do we feel when it happens? Well, people feel really bad. They feel depressed, let down. One young boy I know, he and his girlfriend broke up, and the guy was really miserable. And I wanted to find another girlfriend. This is what happens. As soon as they break up, you feel really sad, upset, bereaved. And immediately, well, let's ask yourself, when this happens, when some pleasure comes to an end, why do I feel sad? Well, the answer, obviously, is because I wanted to keep it to keep on going. And then if I say to you, how long did you want to keep on going for? people say, well, how long can I have it? Forever. Because that's what we really want. We want happiness that goes on without any end. You have to, if you look at it, you see that's what we want. Then, what a situation. What kind of situation are we in? That's what we want, and we're looking for it in a place where everything is temporary. Hashem. Therefore, the QED, as I say, quote, Erat Demastam, that's the proof. It is not possible, actually, to be satisfied in this world. The reason we want eternal happiness is because we are eternal. And this love for Krishna is there. We want to love. Our love wants to go out and it wants to expand without any limit. We place it on various things in this world. And sooner or later, because of this love or this attachment, we experience pain, and then we think, I'm never going to do that again. That's because our love is meant for Krishna. That love, that relationship never breaks. It goes on forever. Krishna never, ever becomes dull, boring, unattractive. He's ever fresh. He's ever new. Krishna will never tell the same joke twice, but to speak of 10 times, as your husband does to your wife. They're always. So Krishna is the one we are looking for. That's where our actual happiness is. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our human life. That's why this Bhagavatam says, if whatever we're doing does not help us in our effort to improve in our spiritual life, especially in the practice of hearing and chanting about Krishna, because the names of Krishna are Krishna. When we hear and chant about Krishna, we are actually in contact with Krishna. That is not the same in material subject matter. But Krishna is present in his names. He's present in his description. We are associating with Krishna. And that association is purifying. What's right now is blocking. You see, all this experience of trying to become happy in the world has clogged up our consciousness. Our consciousness is covered with garbage. And because it's like a dirty mirror, you can't see anything. But if we hear and chant about Krishna, the mirror becomes clean. And then we can see. Then Krishna appears. And then that's who I love. That's who I'm looking for. Then there's full satisfaction. There's full satisfaction. Anything else? Trauma, eva, he gave up. Hard work for nothing. So in this world, it's sort of ordained that we have to work hard. Almost anything you want is difficult. So we have to put up some effort. Let us put up some effort which has a real result. Not something that in the end will disappoint us. So that's the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now, if you keep coming every Sunday, you'll hear more and more about this science of hearing about Krishna. It's actually a great science. And so this time you spend at the temple, this is the most profitable hour of your week. Because here something is really valuable is happening, that we're hearing and chanting about Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhupada. We have a few announcements at this time. I don't think we
have
a good so, do we?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it. The guys are moving in.
Okay.
Talk to me afterwards if you have some questions.
We have a couple of Rakhi Asha announcements. Rakhi Asha is coming up, so we'll make you be at time. What time is close to start? So let's give Marina Shibu another round of applause. And again, if you have any questions about what he spoke about or any of the Krishna conscious philosophy, please come stand after class. We'd like to extend a welcome to everybody who's come this evening. If you're here for the first time, we want to make sure that you get a book. We have a book table right outside. These books are written by Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya at this time. And to get them us to you, we want to make sure that you take them with you, a book from about Krishna consciousness. We also, there's also a couple of devotees visiting us, this area today, from other temples. We have Jagavan and Samvit from Detroit. I'd like to welcome them. You can raise your hand.
Hi, good morning.
We have Gurunga Prema and his family, and Sri Vrindavan Das from, and his family from the New Jersey Temple in Tuapu. I saw them playing with their children outside, so I think they're here. And we have Mahajan Prabhu from Potomac. We have a couple of events coming up this week that are noteworthy. Tomorrow, Labor Day is Ekadasi. This is the day we recommend that we fast from meat and grains. It's also a half day fast on the occasion of Lord Gamadeva's appearance day. On Tuesday is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's recommended that we fast a half day. The appearance days and disappearances of our acharyas in the Bhagavad Vaishnava line. Now, it's a fast day the day before, and it's recommended, we're supposed to break fast on Ekadasi the day after in the morning, it's a certain time period. Now, if you're going to observe the fast for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you just take a grain in the morning time, and that way you'll break the fast for Ekadasi, but you won't be enjoying and you'll still observe the fast for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then on Wednesday is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya. And on Thursday is the third month of Chaturmasya begins. This evening we don't have a sponsor for the Sunday feast. So if anybody here would like to sponsor, we'd be very grateful. So is there anybody here who would like to sponsor the feast? Okay. If you do want to sponsor, you can go and see Nina Pandit. She's in the congregational office. Also, for the following weeks, if you're interested in sponsoring the feast of the future, you can sign up with them right now or, you know, sometime later this evening. We have a wonderful feast prepared. We have cooks. The cooks for this evening were Surya, Mother Surya, from Poonam, Rajvasi, Vikram, Swapna, and the temple resident devotees of Gopal, Ganapati, and Ganapati. We have a couple more announcements. We have, I want to invite Mother Janice at this time. I don't know if she's Okay. Give your attention to her.
Hare Krishna. Many of you have been involved along with us in quite the endeavor of renewing our bathrooms upstairs, the second and third floors. We started back in February, and we're happy to say 6 months later, we've ended up putting on the finishing touches. Now, many of you have supported this project through your donations. Many of you have physically got involved with the cleaning, with the hammering, with the painting. So many devotees have actually supported this. And we'd like to take a moment tonight to honor two of them that have been just so determined to help at a time when they had such a great need in doing the tile work. It involved expertise, and we needed someone who also was a devotee who could do this as loving devotional service. So we found someone who was very busy working with his job, didn't know how he was going to do it because he had a wife and children and responsibilities like we all have. But by Krishna's mercy and by the desire in his heart to help, he came forward. And day after day, week after week, he managed to finish the three bathrooms by himself with the help of his son and a few others that contributed here and there. So tonight I would like to honor these devotees for going above and beyond for Krishna. And I would like you to give these two people your pin, the cow, if you'll come forward, and his son Rishi. We know behind every great man there is a wonderful woman, and his wife, who is a great devotee, Sharada Dasi, who was not here tonight to receive this gift, but the gift is a family gift for your daughter, who was so patient. When you were in the bathrooms doing the title work, she came and played by herself, knowing Daddy was close by. And Rushi came in to help when we needed another hand. So this gift is for your wife and your daughter and your son as well. So please accept this from all of us at the temple with our deepest appreciation. Please give them a round of applause. We have another announcement this evening about Bhakti Asha. We're getting very close, 3 weeks left, and Vishnu Gadal will be coming up here to speak about some of the details. Fine-tuning these last 3 weeks, filling in the gaps, trying to get everyone who has not yet gotten engaged to let you know there's opportunity. But before we begin, I would like to just mention something you saw coming into the temple this evening. We have a resident artist who lives in Philadelphia, Annapurna Dasi, Devi Dasi. Are you in this room, Annapurna? Many of you know her, and she has donated 2 works of art to the temple, specifically for Bhakti Asha, to help us raise the money we need to be prepared to serve 3,000 meals on Bhakti Asha. So we are trying to think of how we can serve the Lord using these pictures and expand the donation. So someone decided that it would be a great idea to do a silent auction. Do any of you know what a silent auction is? Raise your hand if you know. It's a very nice way to have an auction without all the gusto. Basically, the pictures are there in the lobby. They're not the originals, but they're the next best thing. They're called Gicle Productions. They do this one at a time, and they produce it in such a way that they use the archival conservation materials, very carefully selected ink, and which is allowed to, well, it's suggested that it stay for 100 to 200 years using this process. But in order to perfect the finishing touches, our artist used all the proper materials. She has the backing matting and the backing are both of archival materials, and also the glass is conservation quality. So you are getting a museum quality work of art. So we hope that you'll take a look at those pictures. Hopefully someone will be touched, that they're just going to have it. And the way it works, there are 2 pieces of paper out there listing the names of people who place a bid. Right now the highest bid is $201 for Radhakrishna and $301 for Krishna as a cowherd boy. So if you want to bid higher, put your name and phone number and put your higher bid. And if you're really, really touched by these pictures and you absolutely must have it, then you need to go back each time throughout the evening, tonight and next Sunday, to make sure that no one has overbid you, because you want to end up with the highest bid so you get the picture. So this is how we'll do our silent auction. Encourage your friends, your art lovers, and most importantly, she has given us a window into the spiritual world. It's a nice adaption, a nice addition to your home. So thank you so much for your support of Bhakti Asha, and Vishnu Gadal will continue this discussion and encourage all of you to get involved. Thank you very much. Vishnu?
Krishna. So I know that many of you, if not most of you, are already taking up some volunteer service or other ways to help the Rath Yatra, which is, you remember the day? Okay, thank you. September 23rd, Saturday, it starts at noon at the corner of JFK and 16th in Center City. Then the parade will start there with Lord Jagannath coming on his gigantic chariot down Ben Franklin Parkway, and will end around between 1:30 and 2 in front of the Art Museum, an oval right in front of the Art Museum called Eakins Oval, where there'll be a festival, a feast for several thousand people. So we'll be cooking that here on Friday and Saturday. We will be needing volunteers to help string garlands and have vegetables Friday during the day. So if anyone would like to do that, there's a Rath Yatra table out in front. You can volunteer for that. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has agreed to be the parade marshal. Let's get a round of applause. Many years past than the original Rath Yatra here in Philadelphia, so that'll be great. Here sitting is Preeti Shah. If you could stand up, she has agreed to organize in the beginning of the parade is going to be Dandiya Ras, Ras Garba. I think many of you know. Who knows how to dance the Garba? Oh, here's one. Very few people. Anyway, if anybody would also like to help participate and join in that dance in the beginning of the festival, you have to wear your nicest saris. But she will be training you and having some class and organizing and practice for the next couple of Sundays. So please see Preeti Shah after these announcements to do that. Okay. Also, we still have a few areas where you could contribute. I think some of you have seen out when you come in the temple on the left side, just before you come in, there's a sign where they have lots of lines and there's numbers on that. Did you notice that? You may have noticed that the total number is on the left is 36,000 or 35 something. That's the total budget for this festival. So did anybody catch where we are now?
24.5.
Yeah, we're at 24.5. So we're two-thirds of the way there, but we've got a little ways to go. So if anybody would like to help, now is the time, because we only have a couple of weeks left. Some things that are still available to help to sponsor, if you'd like, are two of the exhibits. There's the reincarnation exhibit, which is that travels around the country during the festival, where the exhibits describe the philosophy of reincarnation, how the soul transmigrates from body to body. Very beautiful. People come in and they read that and then they can understand some of the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. We also have areas to contribute for the deity worship. Flowers. We have about $501 more need for flowers. It could be done all at once or in half the flowers. Also, for prasadam. Still uncontributed for is the water. One vegetable preparation. And also, the garbage bags haven't been sponsored yet. So, all of those are on a list, also on that table. So if anybody would like to do that, please see Mother Janice at the table, and there are all these other people there before you leave today, so we can make that budget go up all the way to the top. All right?
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it.
Oh, there you go. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
What kind of bag is that? That garbage bag? So, somebody...
Oh, somebody wants to get them
themselves? Yeah, so
what size
would be?
Well, we have to get these special containers of these things from the city.
But then they go make.
Yeah, so better just do it.
And volunteers, the volunteer category.
Volunteer category, yeah. Volunteer, do you want more volunteer categories?
Yes, just talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, volunteer categories means to help we're going to set up the festival in the morning, but we'll need help bridging it down at 7 o'clock at night. So we need able-bodied persons to do that at 7 o'clock in the evening time. And also, what else?
Throughout the day, we need help.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for manning the booths, we'll, if you have any interest, team of agendas for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have our dinner this time right now because it's right outside. We'll be serving in the temple room as well as on the second floor. But before we break, I want to say that Yogendra Prabhu and Ruchi Prabhu are back here in Philadelphia. They just arrived from Sweden. So I don't know, I don't see them here right now. I believe that they're maybe speaking, I don't know. But it's very great to have them back. We're going to be finishing up some of the projects that they started back in the spring time. They're responsible for the bathroom project, and we're going to be finishing up some things. So if you see them, say hi to them, and we're very happy to have them back. Okay, so 7:30, we'll have an RT in here time. Please come back for that.
One thing is that everything is